Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Would you please turn to number 9 in Sing the Journey? Come, now is the time to worship. Please stand if you can.
This is a good day.
Amen.
I thought I would start with that. Good morning, and welcome to this very short time that we have together in our week to gather. We all know we are in times of change, in flux, and we're kind of listening for direction of what is required of us. Wondering what comes next, and wondering what's all going on in our world. As you entered this space this morning, did anything change? What were you aware of? Did you wonder how it was going to be having to wear masks in church again? Were you hesitant to come? Did you talk to anyone? Were you glad to be here? Did you bring your A game? I'm not much of a sports person, but my understanding of an A game is being prepared, focused, and ready both mentally and physically for the game ahead. When I was young, growing up, our A game on Sunday morning was putting on our Sunday best, shoes polished, hair combed, the noon meal mostly prepared, Sunday school lesson read over, and our Sunday school offering ready to pick up as we walked out the door. As we piled into the vehicle, we were given instructions to stop our bickering before we got to church. Much has changed for me, and probably for you. What is your A game to prepare for worshiping together now in this time? Again, we want to welcome each one of you to this time together, however you have prepared or not prepared, and for whatever is going on in your lives, it is good to have you here. Our hope is that something that is spoken or sung this morning will resonate with you and give you encouragement or food for thought for your week ahead. Before I read the call to worship, I just want to say this. If you were a speaker and spoke often, people listening would soon tell that there was a general underlying theme to what you have to say. And if you were listening, you may have predicted or picked up on what my base theme is when I worship lead. I welcome you here to this time we have together. I usually say something about we're greater than the sum of our parts when we're together. And you know my line. My hope is that something will be meaningful to you from this service this morning that you can take with you. I've often wondered if Jesus was a speaker or an orator, or did he just throw out one-liners? Relatively short statements that made people pause, turn their heads slightly as if to say, "What was that? I've got to write that one down." Whatever the case, he definitely had an underlying theme. Our call to worship this morning contains just a smattering or a glimpse at some of the statements credited to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you." And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And Jesus said, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say, if anyone slaps you on the cheek, turn to him the other also." And Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." And Jesus said, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you." And Jesus said, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." And Jesus said, "Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but not the log in your own?" And Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What if Jesus was serious? Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for the way you have guided us this past week. We have been given many opportunities to care for people around us, to enjoy the beauty of nature, to pause and be thankful. We have been given opportunities to choose between anger and hatred and peaceful resolutions. We have had opportunities to choose fear, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of our neighbors. We have been given many opportunities to care and show love towards those we come in contact with. God of infinite understanding, great mercy and love, be with us this hour, this day, this time in the world. We ask this together as one. Amen.
I would like you to turn in Sing the Journey to number 17, Alle, Alleluia. I was thinking about why singing in church is any different than singing this at home. Like, I go over the hymns at home, and it's kind of my duty and exercise, something I must do. And then when I come to church and I sing with all of you, it changes immeasurably. And I think it's the joy of singing together and the sound of other voices. Now, the voices will be muted because of the masks, but listen to those around you and enjoy their voices as we join together in prayer and in song, or song in prayer. So let's sing Alle, Alleluia. It goes through twice, and please stand if you can. Wonderful singing. And we'll turn to just the song before it, number 16, and a Praise with Joy the World's Creator, familiar hymn with new words.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for this good day that you have blessed us with. And thank you for all those around us who are reminding us of your goodness in various ways. Help us to move around our world with open ears, open eyes to see the beauty that changes from day to day, to have an open heart to appreciate something that we didn't choose or create ourselves, but we can recognize it as beautiful, as someone else's contribution to beauty. Thank you for the opportunity that we have had to bring from all that you have given us, and we ask for your blessing on the offering that has been given, not only today, but throughout this entire year. We ask for your empowerment to use our resources wisely, to be generous and joyful in the use of them for the sake of others, so that in these actions, along with so many other things that we call spiritual disciplines, we would in fact be becoming more and more like you, that we would not conform to the image of this world. We say those words, but it's so much harder to actually live them and be them. Only by your grace and your Holy Spirit can we actually move in that direction. And that is what we seek, and that is what we long for, and that's what we pray for, confessing that we fall short of that mark. We even fall short of the desire to reach that mark. So we confess that too. We confess that you are God, that you are a good God, that you are a loving God, and you are worthy of much more than our praise, but we give you what we have. This is our confession. And that in the midst of our sinfulness, your love overcame us, and you opened the way of salvation, the way to come to you. And we thank you for that. And we confess that as well, that although we are sinners, you have cleansed us. You have washed us. And you continue to transform us, each as we are, not into one thing that looks like a cookie cutter. No, we are still completely and totally our own beautiful selves. And we rejoice in this, and we rejoice in your rejoicing over this. What a relief. We thank you so much. Thank you for all of these opportunities that we've looked at and we've thought about. Help us to recognize when there is a door of opportunity opening in front of us. Help us to have put aside all of those things that weigh us down or that consume us with so much thought and attention that are not really necessary, so that we would be free and ready when that door opens to say, aha, here I am, it's me, I'm going to do this with joy. Thank you for all of these opportunities. Thank you for the opportunity of coming here and worshiping. Thank you for the opportunity for all of those who have been able to connect via their computer, that are able to be with us in this service right now. Thank you for all of them. Thank you for the people that make the technology happen. Thank you for the healthcare workers who keep us healthy and keep reminding us of how to stay healthy. We ask that you would encourage them and help us also to encourage, never discourage. Thank you for the opportunity to have a free and fair election. And we ask that you would help us to make wise choices in that as well. And we pray for our government and all of our leaders, whether we like them or not. We pray for them, because it's only by your moving through our government, through our officials and through us, that the kingdom can come. Your kingdom. Not the kingdom that we see around us or that we pay attention to around us. Your kingdom is here already. Help us to see it and live in it and be a part of it. We pray for the other churches in Swift Current, like Faith Evangelical Missionary Church, and we pray for Grace Mennonite Church in Prince Albert, currently without a pastor. We pray for your guidance, your help, your healing. And so we pray for the leaders of our church, too, who will meet this afternoon. Give them wisdom and a vision, your vision, for who we are and who you desire us to be. Help us to be participants in our community, as well as in this community that we call home of Zion Mennonite. We offer it back up to you. May your will be done here. And so we pray with one united voice, the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us turn in our blue hymn books to hymn number 493, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Please stand if you can. 493.
Lay down, O weary
The scripture this morning is taken from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. This is one of the passages from the lectionary for today. And as I looked at it, I thought, maybe it's a time for us to be looking at the sayings of Jesus. Maybe not just as sayings or quotable quotes, but let's see what Jesus says and what that means for us. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. Taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Jesus sayings are always very tricky. Sometimes people think it's super easy to preach from the Gospels because they're so obvious and accessible, simple stories. You don't have to try and contort yourself to make interpretations or connections to our real life, because the connection is right there. Well, all of those people are wrong, because the sayings of Jesus, I think, are the hardest sayings ever. But we will try, and we will keep looking at them and listening to them, because they are the words of life. Isn't that what the disciples said? Where else are we supposed to go? Because you have the words of eternal life, whether or not we understand them, whether or not we actually live them and follow them. So that's my final concluding question. Do we actually want to follow the words of Jesus? And that's a live question. Let it hang there in tension. Ask yourself, do I actually want to do what Jesus said? Do I want to become more like Jesus? Are we ready to become more like Jesus? That's the question. You know, you've all been to different meetings or been in conversation or even had email come to you, and you read something or you hear something, you receive a message from someone in some way, and you know there's the information, but the way that information was given to you, could have caused a lot of pain and suffering, and maybe even the opposite of what the words seem to say. That's why I made this big, huge, long title. It's not just what you said, but how you said it. And that is a problem for us. That's a challenge for us. But I think it's also a challenge for us when we are looking at the words of Jesus. And this story is just prime for the picking of how Jesus put his message together, this particular message, and how Mark recorded that message. I ask you not to Google any of the other stories when Jesus took a child and did some things, said, you need to become like a child. It's a fire truck, by the way. I can see it. I saw it go around the corner, and now we can, okay, we hope that things will all be well there. I want us to focus on Mark's particular story, on this particular event. And Mark was probably the first writer of some of these gospel stories. And the other writers used some of Mark's information to then continue and write their own gospel. So Mark was an original source. And I want us to notice, without paying too much attention to it, thinking about it later, what came before and what came after. Before and after this tiny little blurb here, which was only a few verses, there are two events that have to do with casting out demons. So just before this event, there was a desire, a need for the casting out of a demon, and the disciples were not able to do it. They were upset. Jesus came, and he was able to cast out the demon. And then they moved on from there. After this portion of scripture, again, the casting out of demons. And I just have to go directly to this because I know once I start getting all into, you know, this message, I'll forget this point. But this is just like, here they are having this conversation in a house. Jesus is with his disciples. They're in their own room, no television on, no radio on, nothing to distract them. They're having this intense conversation. Jesus brings them his teaching. They're all paying attention, just like you are. And then one disciple, verse 38 says, John said to him, now, here is John's perfect opportunity. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, the one that was close to him. And how does he respond? He says, so about the casting out of demons. And you just throw up your hands and say, what? We weren't even talking about that. Can't you let go of that? Can't you just focus on what I'm actually trying to tell you right here and now? Now, this isn't a very good Jesus voice. The way that I'm bringing, because I'm so upset with the disciples. Now, Jesus was a much better teacher, I think. Joy was asking if he was an orator, a speaker. He probably didn't go on and on and on. He just cut right to the heart. And he's giving them some very necessary, helpful, mind-changing, world-changing, revolutionary ideas, and all they want to do is focus on the thing that they want to focus on, before and after, casting out demons. Why? We're not sure why, and we have to leave some of the why questions, because that's part of the way that Jesus operates. We don't have all of the answers. We can't tie them all neatly together. So after this casting out of demons that the disciples were unable to do, they took a little journey together. Jesus and his disciples, they left the crowds. And I've considered this as Jesus on the campaign trail. Hey, we're in the middle of an election cycle, right here and now. We've heard all of the, oh, that leader is bad, this leader is bad, oh, this is the good leader, you should vote for this leader. We know what that's like. And they all want to come before the crowds. They'll go to very dense populations and give speeches and rallies and on and on and on, right? And here, Jesus is on the campaign trail, and he leaves the crowd. He has just performed a most miraculous thing. He got that demon out of that person, and then he leaves the limelight. He goes away from the limelight. This is the way that Jesus is bringing his message. He leaves that, and he's going to give them something for their ears only. I know the song, "For Your Eyes Only." But this message is for their ears only. He wanted to teach his disciples something that was very specific, very unique, very necessary, and they needed to be able to hear it. Ask yourself, as we're moving through this, where do I recognize myself in this story? Where can I connect with this story? They went through Galilee. He didn't want anyone to know it. He was teaching his disciples, saying, and here is basically his telling them, I am refusing all of my power, all of my opportunity, all of my status, all of my rights are going to be taken away. I will give them up freely. I am happy to do this. This is what's going to happen. The campaign speeches usually say, oh, we've had enough of this. Let's not have any more of this. Make sure this doesn't happen. Vote for this person. Jesus says, I know this is going to happen, and you need to be aware of it. I am surrendering myself. The Son of Man surrenders himself into human hands to be killed and rise again. The ultimate sacrifice. That's his message. The one who could cast out demons was going to allow that power to be lost. The one who could heal everyone was going to allow himself not to be able to heal. They didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask. Think of yourselves and your prayer life, imagining that this is your communication with Jesus. This is the way that we speak and hear God communicating with us. And when you are unable to understand what's going on, are you too afraid to ask? Do we ask questions in prayer or as we are reading the scripture? Because the Bible, the scripture, the written word, is the revelation of God. It is the medium through which God is making himself known to us. So if we are not reading and in this word, we are not receiving that revelation continuously. Yes, there are other means of revelation, but this is the most immediate that we have right now. God is making himself known to us through these words. And if we're not there, we don't even have questions to ask. They heard. They didn't understand what he was saying. And they were afraid to ask. Afraid to ask. So they were silent. That was the response to this campaign platform. This is what Jesus stood for. And they were silent. There's an article in the Mennonite. I think it's the most recent one. And it speaks about programs that were put on for Truth and Reconciliation Day, which is yet to come. But in response to the finding of these unmarked graves, some churches held some special programs and vigils and things. And there was one woman who was an indigenous woman, and she attended one of these. And she said, She was so happy for this opportunity, people coming together, ready to talk about this, not knowing what to do with the information. But she said, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid. We could also say, don't be too proud to ask questions. I've grown up with the Bible. I heard on the radio yesterday, someone said, I was born on Friday and I was in church on Saturday. That was a Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, for some of us, that's our story. Straight from the womb into the church. I've lived with this all my life. It's kind of embarrassing to say, I don't know. I don't understand. The disciples, for whatever reason, were afraid to ask him. So the next section, and this was for their ears only. This was special. Oh, yes, let me back up. This was special information for those disciples. And when I asked you, where do you see yourself in this story? Are you ever in a position, do you put yourself in a position where you are able to receive information from God for you? Specifically for you. I'm not talking about when you come to church, because this is a communal setting, and it's a little bit generic unless we're hearing the Spirit of God speaking into us and our circumstances and our needs. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, are we hearing Jesus speaking specifically to us, something we need to hear? The second part, verse 33, they came to Capernaum, and he was in the house. Now here is, again, Jesus' methodology, the way that he is bringing information to his disciples. They came to Capernaum, he was in the house, he asked them. Location, location. Time and place. If you need to ask someone, why did you offend me so terribly by saying this and that? Or, how could you do that to me? How could you throw me under the bus? You know that saying. Anybody been there? Anybody been under the bus? I think we all have. Time and place. When he was in the house, he asked them. Jesus' methodology. Asking, the Socratic method, they call it. Oh, and here's the worst question in the world for Jesus to be asking us. What were you arguing about?
Oh, look at that. We should change that rug.
Isn't that the way we go? It's an uncomfortable question. It's direct, it's clear, nothing vague here. What were you arguing about after the last congregational meeting? What were you arguing about throughout the last week? Anybody gone for coffee this week? Nobody. Wow, look at that. I think most of us have, in one way or another. What were you arguing about? We are in the middle of worldwide arguing, aren't we? If it's not one thing, it's another. And Jesus says, what were you arguing about? And again, with the silence, they were silent because they were arguing about who was the greatest. Arguing about that. So he sat down. He called them all. He invited them. Come closer. We need to talk. Oh, and that's never a good line either, is it? That's how you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend. We need to talk. But Jesus said, come here. Come close. Jesus constantly is drawing near to us, inviting us into that inner circle, saying, I've got something for you. Words of living water, specifically for you in this situation, in this time. What is it that you need? You can back away, you can be silent. Jesus offers. He sat down, he called them, and he said to them, this is how I see things. If you want to be great, you've got to be the servant. If you want to be the first, you've got to be the last. And this was his answer to what were you arguing about? Put those two together. See if you can make those Lego pieces fit. It's a hard fit. It's tough. It's easy if you just do it at the surface and say, oh yeah, I've heard this in church before, I've heard that in Sunday school. But when you really put yourself and your situation, what were we arguing about on the way? When we allow ourselves to be invited by Jesus to come in and sit down, what is your hurry? I say this to myself too. What's the hurry? What are your distractions? You've got a meeting to go to. You've got a call coming in. Jesus invites. He sits down. Come sit with me. And he says, this is the way things are meant to be. This is the way. Be the last, be the servant. And then this should have been the end of the story. That should have been the end right there. They wanted to be the greatest, and Jesus said, this is how you can be the greatest. Well, you know what? If you actually think about it for a little while, before we move on, think about that. I want to be the greatest. And Jesus says, okay, you want to be the greatest? Be the last, be the servant of all. And what do? You get to work being the servant of all, being the best servant of all, and making sure that everybody knows you're the best servant. I'm doing the hardest work. I am serving everybody. And then you're running here and running there and running here and running there, and you actually do become the slave of all. Why? Because you're still trying to be the first. Doing whatever we can to be the first, to be the best, to be the acknowledged. And Jesus is saying, let it go. In the kingdom, serving others is the best. Just be the servant, be the last. That's the best in the kingdom. We don't always hear that the right way. We think, oh, this is step one and step two and step three towards actually being the first. Oh, when are we going to get it? I'm sure Jesus rolled his eyes a lot. So then, this wasn't the end. There was still more, which is even more confusing because Jesus goes way off track and he says, well, he didn't say anything. He took a little child without status, without power, without position, helpless. He took that child and put it among them. Do you feel helpless? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel without position or recognition? Jesus took that child and put it among them. And then it gets even better. I think Vic was changing batteries. You're wondering, right? Well, come on. We were wondering what's happening. So Jesus takes this little child, puts it among them, and then taking it in his arms, taking that child in his arms. Where are you in this story? Are you the crowd that he left in another country, oohing and aahing about the power of being able to cast out demons? Are you the one in the kitchen preparing the meal for the disciples, very busy, but you can't hear what's being said? Or do you recognize yourself in the child that Jesus takes, puts among them, and then takes the child in his arms. I heard a song this week on YouTube. Leaning back on the breast of the beloved Savior. That's just one of the phrases in it. I'm hearing this song, it's lovely, la la la, and then all of a sudden, bam, that line came out. That's what I heard. Just lean back on the breast of the loving Savior. This is his campaign. This is Jesus' message. This is the message that we carry in ourselves to our family, to our friends, to our neighbor, our community. And he says, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Weren't we talking about power? Weren't we talking about greatness? Weren't we talking about being a servant? Where does this come from? What's the connection? How do you move from the first point to the second point to the third point and wrap it up with a conclusion? How do you do that? Our way of thinking is not at all Jesus' way of thinking. And Jesus' focus is on welcoming, opening up Jesus' arms and drawing people in. Drawing everyone in. Not according to a status, not according to what they've achieved, how much they have done, just welcoming. Opening his arms and taking that child, helpless, hopeless, without status, taking them in. Welcome such a child in my name, and this becomes the cycle of acceptance. You're not even thinking about Jesus. You see someone, you see a helpless, hopeless, avoided, who knows what kind of a descriptor you put on them, and you welcome them, pay attention to them. Draw them in, even just into your circle of awareness. And for Jesus, this is welcoming him and the Father who sent him. The need for power, the need for prestige, the need for attention, all of that is out of the picture if we're listening. If we're hearing what Jesus said and how he said it. Are we ready to become more like this Jesus?
Thank you for your words, Lois. I think about a teacher, always teachers, always finish their lessons with asking if the students understand. And Christ as the master teacher invites us to ask those questions. And it just brings me to the phrase, take it to the Lord in prayer. Anyway, that is not the hymn we're going to sing. However, we are going to sing Christian, Did You Hear the Lord? Hymn number 494. And we are going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. So once we sing 1 and 2, I'll remind you about 4 and 5. Please stand if you can.
Please bow for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.
Please now turn to Sing the Story, the Purple Book, number 57, Go, My Friends, in Grace.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.